Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. Hey, Bill O'Reilly here. Welcome to the No Spin News for Monday, September 11, 2023. Stand up for your country, especially on the 22nd anniversary of 9/11. So this is the classic good evil story. We know it thoroughly. There's a bunch of stuff you might not know, but I'm going to get to that in a moment. However, very difficult story to cover because it's so emotional here. On Long Island, where I am, and I've said this many times, I mean, dozens of families were affected directly. They lost loved ones, and some of my friends, too. I was in the middle of it 22 years ago. We'll get into that as well. And that is the subject of this evening's Talking Points memo. So 2,977 people killed in the terror attacks, all told. In New York City, 2,753, the lion's share of the dead, were killed here in the World Trade Center. Two airliners hijacked by jihadists crashed in the World Trade Center. The two towers collapsed, okay? Now, total dead, and this counts people who died after 9/11 from illnesses that they contracted being close by, 5,600 total dead. And that's according to World Trade Center Health Program. Another 71,000 individuals have been diagnosed with illness directly caused by the 9/11 attack. It's a staggering number. Now, the jihadists have been severely downgraded throughout the world. And I wrote a book about it, Killing the Killers. You're familiar with this book. It's the best reporting that I've ever done, by the way. I mean, all the killing books are worthy, in my opinion. But this book tells you things you absolutely do not know about how the U.S. government attacked the jihad. And it was all done under the cloak of secrecy, but we were able to get top secret documents and put them in the book and walk you through what happened in the ensuing years. Mistakes were made, but overall, the USA downgraded the jihad in a way that I don't think has ever been done throughout history. Threat is still there, but not nearly what it was. And if you want to know how this country did do that, then you read Killing the Killers. Now, today, in 2023, we have a threat here because of the open border. And the terrorists are coming across it, according to Customs and Border Protection. This year alone, and we still have, what, four more months, 149 individuals on a terror watch list have been detained at the border. Last year, the whole year, the number was 98. But the open border is a magnet for terrorists to come across. Now, whether President Biden knows that or not, anybody's guess, nobody ever asks him, and he never addresses it. He's just happy that the border is open and 8 million people have sauntered across it. Now, last night, 60 Minutes, which has been on the decline, in my opinion, did a really excellent report, Scott Pelley, on 9/11. And it focused in on the New York City firefighters. Boy, it was good. And if you haven't seen that, it's worth watching. It just shows you the heroism that was in play on that day, 9/11. It was a terrific, terrific piece. And later on, I'm going to get into a negative about 9/11, and that was the telethon. I've done this before, but I think it's worthy to refresh everybody's memory about how bad that was and my role in it, because most Americans rallied to try to help, and even to this day. All right, we have charities. I support Tuesday's Children. Tunnel for Towers is a good charity that, because the ongoing problems from 9/11 obviously are still there. And that's the memo. All right, President Biden's in Alaska, and he is giving a speech to service members up there. We have a big base in Alaska, of course, and talking about 9/11. If he says anything of note, I'll bring it to you tomorrow. I don't expect he will. You understand that last week, as we reported, he went to India for the economic summit. On the way back from India, he stopped in Vietnam. And the United States is trying to be a closer ally with Vietnam to provide a bulwark to China. China is a threat. So we are upping our relationships with Vietnam, with the Philippines, with Japan, all of the surrounding countries, India, of course. So Biden stopped in Vietnam, and then he held a 26-minute press conference, not a very long one. And here's what happened. Go.
And look, nobody likes having celebrated international meetings if you don't know what you want at the meeting, if you don't have a game plan. He may have a game plan, he just hasn't shared it with me. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm going to go to bed. Yeah, we talked about at the conference overall. We talked about stability. We talked about making sure that the third world, the southern hemisphere had access to change. It had access. It wasn't confrontational at all.
You came with me. Thank you, everybody. This ends the press conference. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. So they cut him off because he's obviously can't get it out. He could bear that soundbite ran 60 seconds. If, you know, to me, it felt like it was 5 minutes. He couldn't get out. And the question was simple. All right. That Xi didn't show up, the leader of China, and then a guy, the second in command for international relations, showed up. And, you know, what'd you talk to him about? You get it. You don't get anything out of him. So Jean-Pierre goes in. Oh, thank you. That's all. He interrupts her boss. I mean. Maybe I'm nitpicking here. I'm sorry if I am, but it just, to me, it's like, oh, agonizing to listen to him.
Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus. All right, let's take a look at the overall geopolitical situation right now. I'm bringing a guy who knows what he's doing. His name is Douglas London. He's a former CIA officer for many years. Currently, he's a professor at Georgetown University's School of Foreign Service, a fine school. He is the author of the book, The Recruiter, Spying and the Lost Art of American Intelligence. So he knows what he's doing. All right, first of all, the jihad, as I said, has been downgraded They're active in Africa and in the Middle East somewhere. How would you calibrate their strength?
Bill, I think you hit the nail on the head by using the word downgraded or degraded. The United States pursued a strategy of leadership decapitation that I know is well illustrated in your book, going after the core leadership and logistics hubs and such to make it more difficult for these groups as centralized organizations to pose a threat. But at the same time, that strategy led to a decentralization of the threat. So we saw the rise of the Islamic State. We see Al-Qaeda morphing into various affiliates. So I think, as you depict correctly, the threat of a 9/11 type attack on the United States is much less than it was and much less than it's ever been. But I think we see the rise in smaller scale attacks by both Islamic State and its affiliates, as well as Al-Qaeda. Recently, we saw the news from Philadelphia in mid-August of a teenager, apparently, who was planning an attack undescribed, but that would involve various explosives and a number of weapons. And he was in touch with one of these Al-Qaeda affiliates back in Syria. So downgraded, degraded, yes. Absent, unfortunately not.
And it'll never be. You were at the CIA when the Patriot Act was passed, and the CIA was very effective in listening to calls made to foreign locations, particularly the hot locations. There was a segment of the American public, and there is now, hates the Patriot Act, thinks it's intrusive, it violates privacy and all of that. But from my research, the ability to monitor through drones and everything else, the communications worldwide among the jihadist core is really what led to a lot of victories over them. Am I wrong?
Well, you're right, Bill. In fact, it's absolutely essential. And there's a debate right now about Section 702 in terms of bulk collection and what U.S. intel and law enforcement can listen to. But again, circling back to this individual in Philadelphia, that was all over cyber. It was the ability of the U.S. intel community and the Bureau to identify his communications with this Al-Qaeda affiliate. And that wouldn't have happened without the Patriot Act and without Section 702.
Okay. Let's look at Afghanistan for a second. I mean, Taliban take over, Al-Qaeda reconstitutes a little bit in that country. What do you think about what's going on over there?
The Taliban has its own interpretation of the accord with the United States, which diverges from ours, which allows them to be a lot more supportive to Al-Qaeda and its various partner groups than we would like or that we thought they were going to be. The Taliban provides sanctuary not only to Al-Qaeda, but variously 17 to 23 affiliate groups and partner organizations. And back in the CIA, we looked at partner organizations, even though they weren't necessarily Al-Qaeda franchises. They were Kashmiri militant groups. They were Central Asian groups that cooperated and collaborated with Al-Qaeda. Those groups are receiving sanctuary in Afghanistan. And while you might be able to say, as the United States administration does, that those groups themselves might not be capable of directing an attack against the United States, they provide the strategic direction to their affiliates and partner organizations who would carry these attacks. And they also are able to fundraise, manage, and recruit under the Taliban's protection. So it continues to pose a problem for us, but also the various neighbors in that very volatile region.
What about Pakistan's Secret Service? Are they sympathetic to the jihad as they were at one time?
They have a great deal of problems from getting what they wished for, which was a U.S. loss and expulsion from the area. The Taliban has given sanctuary to their number one threat, which is the Tehrik Taliban Pakistan, a group of various Pakistani Afghan tribes that cross the border that don't really believe they're Afghan or Pakistan, that have been undertaking the majority of the attacks against Pakistan and destabilizing the country at a very difficult time. And relations between the Taliban and Pakistan are very tense after two decades of Pakistani support to their operations against United States presence on the ground.
How about Iran? Is Iran now a sanctuary for the jihad?
Iran continues, as best I could tell from open source information, to host various groups such as Al-Qaeda, but their nemesis is shared with us as being the Islamic State, whose interests are antithetical to theirs. but they continue to provide sanctuary to Al-Qaeda, but also, obviously, they're providing support to their proxy, Hezbollah, in Lebanon, and right. the various Shia militant organizations in Iraq.
In Iraq, the western part of the country was where the ISIS people based. They were the most vicious after the Iraq war. Trump went in, put a herd on them, but they're still there and in northern Syria as well. Is that correct?
They're definitely there. And our ability to maintain counter-terrorist pressure has really been the key to preventing them from going on the offensive. They're certainly taking advantage of less pressure, both in northwest Syria as well as across the region, to try to reconstitute. We see it in some of the prisons where or detainee camps where they're recruiting and fundraising. So it's something we can't be complacent about.
And what about Turkey? Do they cooperate against ISIS?
Well, yes and no. ISIS represents a definite threat, one we share, but they have a difference of opinion about some of their partners. We partner with some of the Kurdish groups against which the Turks have various issues and they've been at war with for many decades. And that does cause some friction between the greater ISIS coalition that continues to operate in that region.
But not too many ISIS are in Turkey. Turkey doesn't want them there, correct?
No, Turkey certainly doesn't want to host ISIS or Al-Qaeda, right. for that matter. They are definitely right. partners in that, but sort of a different approach to how they're prosecuting the threat.
And finally, the southern border, as I gave you the stats, do you see that as a danger to the USA right now?
Well, Bill, I don't share your perspective in terms of jihad and terrorism. I'll stay away from the other partisan issues about immigration overall. But over my career at the agency, we kept a close eye on the transit of potential terrorists among these various groups, and we didn't really see it as a major issue.
Okay, but now with the volume of human beings streaming across that border and the stats from the Border Patrol that these people were found on a terror watch list going up pretty dramatically, do you think the agency is down there in any force watching what's going on? I know you're speculating because you're teaching now, but to me, the open border, I mean, that's something you got to take seriously.
Well, the CIA has an excellent relationship with the rest of the U.S. intel community, as well as law enforcement, including TSA. And we very actively exchange information and expertise and such like that, which is one of the reasons why I'm a little bit encouraged that there has not been that problem. We certainly always worry about it. Keep a close eye. The Millennium Bomber came across the Canadian border, as you'll remember, Bill, so many years ago. So it's something we do pay attention to, or did under my time. But again, we had not seen terrorist groups able to exploit any vulnerabilities in great effect over the course of my career. And right now, again, I'm outside looking at you.
That's fair. It has not happened, been traced back, but the numbers are growing. Hey, Professor, very good. Thank you very much for your expertise. We really appreciate it. The book, again, is The Recruiter, Spying and the Lost Art of American Intelligence. Thanks again, Professor. Okay, so Kamala Harris goes on Face the Nation, a Sunday morning program on CBS, and here's what happens. Go.
Are you taking the threat of a second Trump presidency seriously enough?
I don't understand the question.
You were dismissive of some of the Republican criticism of you and the president. When you look at current polling, the front runner for a Republican nomination is the former president, the 45th president.
We will win re-election. There is too much at stake, and the American people know it.
Okay, so she understood the question perfectly. You know, do you underestimate Donald Trump? And she wouldn't answer the question. Now, on a more serious note, because that's politics, and you would expect her to say, we're going to win, rah, 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 rah. It's not newsworthy. But the second soundbite is newsworthy. Go.
So there are many reasons for why this is happening, and America is not immune to that. The point has to be, then, to understand what we must do to deal with, one, ensuring that we have a secure, humane and orderly policy about the border, but also what we must do in the long term to address the root causes of migration.
See, now that's where the CBS interviewer, Ms. Brennan, lets everybody down. They're certainly not orderly at the southern border. Nobody with an IQ over 10 could think it would be orderly. Yet she says, we have a secure, humane, and orderly policy. No, you don't. Okay? So the interviewer should be right there. Right there. But no. And that is the deterioration of journalism here. And finally, the root cause of migration. Hey, lady, look, you've had 2 years now to come up with the root causes of migration. You haven't come up with anything. The root causes is many countries in the world are violent and terrible, and people want to get out. That's what the root cause is, and the United States can't do anything about it. We can't occupy those countries. Donald Trump, he's in Iowa yesterday or on Saturday, and goes to the Iowa State football game. Go. Okay, so there were boos and cheers, as you would expect, right? Here's what the lefty said. Go.
Both Trump and DeSantis, they attended yesterday's Iowa State game. Trump met with a decidedly mixed reception. Interesting, some cheers, also some boos, some obscene gestures from the stands.
Okay, now NBC has ordered, I understand, their commentators on MSNBC to say that Trump got a mixed reception. NBC's, believe me when I tell you, they know, okay? Every survey shows they are the most left-wing of the three networks. And they're trying to pull back a little bit. Not going to be successful. We can't run a propaganda network like MSNBC and say you're a legitimate news agency. You can't. It's possible. Anyway, just imagine if President Biden showed up at the Iowa State game. Did he have a few boos? I think you might. I wrote a column on this subject called The Sting. Remember the Robert Redford, Paul Newman movie? It is posted on BillO'Reilly.com. Sunday column, The Sting. I hope you will read it. All right, here's a story you will hear nowhere else, which is why you watch and listen to the No Spin News. So George Soros Group, you know, pumps millions of dollars into left-wing causes. In August, the group, all right, the Center for Economic Policy Research, sent the following congresspeople, all ardent progressives, to South America. Congressman Frost, Ocasio-Cortez, Cesar, Velasquez, Castro. They went down to Chile, Colombia, and Brazil, all on Soros's dime. Soros paid $61,000 to send those people down there. Ocasio-Cortez got more than $8,000 on the trip because she brought her boyfriend. She didn't want to be lonely. Okay, now is this legal? Yes, it's legal. So if a congressperson takes a trip paid for by a political action committee, they have to file a primary trip sponsor form and give it to the House Ethics Committee. They have to receive approval from that committee. Those people did. But it's important that Soros now is funding far-left American politicians to go down to these countries. Smart life. Bidenomics. Now, this is where Trump or whoever is going to run against Biden should be all day long. If you are smart, that means you manage your money. Okay, if you don't manage your money, you are not smart. I can't do a not smart life segment. So I'm doing a smart life segment. So if you manage your money, you know you are paying far more for food, far more for gas and fuel since Joe Biden's been elected. You know that. Okay. Did you know that you are getting absolutely destroyed by rising insurance costs? Here is the data. According to Forbes, homeowners insurance has increased 21% from the year 2000. 21%. Car insurance, according to NerdWallet, up 38%. Whoa! So why are these companies taking out all those ads, which cost millions and millions of dollars, 38% from 20 to 23? And finally, health insurance. These numbers are a little skewed because of COVID, but in over the last 5 years, health insurance up 20%, according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, 43% in the last 10 years. So we all need homeowners insurance, car insurance, healthcare insurance. You are paying so much more for the essentials of life under Bidenomics. There's no two sides to the story. That's where Trump should be, or all the Republicans should be. Okay. I'm going to put this over here when I do the Cuomo show this week. I'll be on News Nation tonight with Leland Vittard, by the way, at 7. I'm just going to have these stats because, you know, the Democrats, they just make excuse. Oh, it's Trump did it. It's Trump did it. No, no. That's why I use 20 to 23. All right. New poll, California, Berkeley Institute of Governmental Studies, 6,000 Californians. Here is the question. Opinions of Reparation Tax Force recommend cash payments to black descendants of slaves now living in California. Do you favor? 28%. Opposed 59%. That's in California. Okay. Just thought you should know. This day in history, September 11th, 1962, the Beatles record their first single, Love Me Do.
Love, love me do. You know I love you. I'll always be true. So please, love me do.
All right, that song was released in the USA a year and a half later, and it hit number one along with everything they did in 1964. They had how many hits? Seven songs written by Lennon McCartney in 1 year hit number one. Beatles have sold more than 600 million albums worldwide. They're still selling. They have grossed to the present day, according to Yahoo Finance, $2.15 billion. That group has grossed in all of their activities. Here's something interesting. McCartney's worth $1.2 billion. Ringo Starr, $350 million, a lot less because Ringo didn't write. Harrison, when he died, $400 million. Lennon, when he was assassinated, $200 million. And today, last year, no, I'm sorry, Billboard magazine, last stats, Beatles are making about $13 million a year still. Okay. Okay. So we've got a mail segment, and then we got a final thought about my involvement with the fundraising on 9/11, which I think you're going to want to see and hear back in a moment. Okay, let's go to the mail. We got David Spano, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Last night, O'Reilly, you said 40% of the people will likely still vote for Biden if he runs again. Doesn't it really boil down to a repeat of 20? All right, they'll be voting, won't be voting for Biden. They'll be voting against Trump, somewhat. But now Biden has a record. He didn't have it in 20. Didn't have any record. He's in his basement hiding. Now he's got a record. I just gave you the Bidenomics. Crazy. On the message board, Al, Congress needs to cut funding for the FBI to the point they feel a big pinch. It's never going to happen. The Democrats would never do that. The FBI helps the Democrats. So they never vote for that. Peter, concierge member, Peter has direct access to me. This is an insurance policy for your life. And when you see how much it costs, it's not like the other insurances. So check out concierge membership, BillO'Reilly.com. I'm a lawyer, make few guarantees, but unless the DOJ and FBI are gutted of the corrupt individuals who twist justice in favor of the left, neither Hunter nor Joe will face any indictment. Okay. It's true. I mean, right now, the FBI is totally political. Melinda Perazzo, Sydney, Australia, down under. Love the no spin news, Bill. I believe Joe Biden will be the nominee in 24, apart from Michelle Obama. Do you think the DNC would do a last minute push for Gretchen Whitmer? She's not well known, Melinda. I mean, if you run out in Sydney, lovely town, by the way. Sydney is great. If you run out today and ask any of your fellow countrymen down there, how about Gretchen Whitmer? Nobody will know. And it's the same thing in the USA. Nobody knows who she is. Former governor of Michigan, but be very hard. Pam Klingensmith, Cincinnati, Ohio. Would Donald Trump consider Dr. Ben Carson as a VP? No. Carson's 72. So Biden needs to get a little, Trump needs to get a little younger on the VP selection. Lori Boykin, Edgefield, South Carolina. Today's column is Sting, one of your best. You clearly lay out how well President Trump did as a president and the influence of January 6th. I believe you accurately state how the liberal media has overlooked the good things Trump achieved. And if only all Americans would read this. Well, they won't read it. But I, you know, when you can download my columns, you send them out to your friends. Most of them won't take the time because they don't care. What are you going to do? Can't make people care, right? Greg Dunphy, Brilliant, Wisconsin. I don't believe the federal government's job is to remove Putin. I always thought the job was to protect its citizens from invasion. All right, Greg, I mean, if you want to take an isolationist point of view, it's not going to end well for the USA. I mean, we have to have a world order in order for us to do business. Our economy needs free markets. So if you let Putin run wild, you're not going to have him. You know, chaos all over the world. Lisa Brack, concierge member. I love Shock and Awe. I'm thrilled you put it on BillO'Reilly.com. This episode with Joe Namath and Rob Gronkowski is excellent. I hope there's more to come. There will be. Shock and Awe is our latest feature for BillO'Reilly.com premium and concierge members. Okay, we're giving you perk after perk after perk, and nobody else can see it, by the way. So, start of the NFL yesterday, New York Giants were defeated by the Dallas Cowboys 40-0. At one point, I thought I might have to go in and play quarterback. And it wasn't Daniel Jones's fault. I mean, come on. You got to give him 3 seconds to throw the ball. Anyway, that's inside baseball. We got Shock and Awe. It's a good football thing if you're interested. Marilyn Reed, Oxford, Michigan. You mentioned how your new book, Killing the Witches, will explain the Mayflower journey. Very interested because I am the descendant of two of the passengers. You will love Killing the Witches. You will love this book. We put you right on the Mayflower, right in the Salem witch trials, then right in the debate on whether America should be a Christian country, and then right on the set of the movie The Exorcist. Wait till you read what happened on that movie set. Killing the Witches out 2 weeks from tomorrow. Order now, get it first. BillO'Reilly.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, you know the drill. This book will keep you up nights. That is for sure. So Fall Madness is on BillO'Reilly.com. Killing the Legends that we just mentioned, all right? Killing the Killers. I'm sorry, we mentioned Killing the Killers, not Killing the Legends. I did with the Beatles, but Killing the Killers, Killing the Legends, and any mug of your choice. $42.95, a fabulous deal. And get a hardcover of The United States of Trump if you want to know the real story about Trump. And any polo shirt, $49.95. Those shirts are great. Good for the fall. And New York State of Mind, that's my live show on October 27th, Paramount Theater, Huntington, Long Island. A few tickets remain. Love to see you there. BillO'Reilly.com, Ticketmaster, Paramount Theater. Word of the day, do not be a rapscallion. That's where rap music came from. Rapscallion. Did you know that? You didn't know it. The rappers don't know it. Rapscallion. R-A-P-S-C-A-L-L-I-O-N. The rappers don't even know where rap derived. Okay. Big, big controversy. September 21st, 2001, 10 days after 9/11. I'm right in the middle of it. Well, explain in a moment. Okay, here's a final thought of the day. So 10 days after the 9/11 attack, there was a charity fundraiser on all the networks called A Tribute to Heroes Benefit. Okay, 35 network and cables covered it simultaneously. 2 hours, raised $350 million. George Clooney headed it up.
Thanks to the generosity of Capital One, we have a phone bank here. We wanted to show you a few of our friends that just showed up to answer the phones, take pledges. And all around the country, thousands of volunteers at phone banks are ready to take your calls.
All right, Noble Enterprise, I was part of that, okay? And it was Noble. Okay, so 3 months after that concert, that charitable fundraiser, only 15% of the money had been given to the families. 3 months. I'm getting thousands of calls and letters from 9/11 affected families. What's going on? So I make a simple request to all the celebrities to ask the United Way, the Red Cross, and the other charities who are supposed to distribute what's going on. Okay? Well, I get attacked by George Clooney. Quote, on the evening of October 31st, you ran a story that has no basis in truth. Okay, this is Clooney talking to me. What is not important is your attack of the performers who gave their time to raise money during the telethon for the 7/11 fund. What is important is your accusation the fund is being misused and mishandled. That, sir, as you know, is nothing short of a lie. Well, Clooney was lying, and it was proven that he was. He's a bad guy, remains a bad guy to this day. He's made a fortune selling booze. I mean, this is... There were four celebrities who recognized that this was wrong. Clint Eastwood, Goldie Hawn, Kurt Russell, and the singer James Brown. None of the others, because they weren't politically correct, that's what they always want to be, would help out. Anyway, as soon as we broke the story, it went all over the world. All right, and I appeared on, I think it was PBS with Charlie Rose. Go.
You broke this story. Are you getting credit in the Congress today, you're telling me as we walked in, for breaking a story that a lot of the money raised in the telethon, some over $200 million, has not been felt at the victim level?
Yeah, we've been doing this story for 6 weeks now, and the way we got onto it is very interesting. Where I live on Long Island, 29 people were killed, and people in my town trust me. And shortly after all the publicity about how much money was being raised to help the victims, people kept coming up to me saying, I'm not seeing any of these victim money, and nobody's contacted me and what's going on. So I started to make some calls, and my staff made some calls. We found out there was just absolute chaos. Chaos in the Red Cross, chaos in the United Way, and the 158 other charities. There are 160 charities set up to help the victims, 5,000 families approximately. And to this day, now more than 8 weeks after the attack, most of the money collected is not even close to getting to those families.
So after Congress got involved and I went on the media and did all that, the money started to flow. Okay? So when I die, Judgment Day, that's on my resume. All right, I did good. And as I gave you my opinion of Mr. Clooney and the others, you know, who didn't rally the celebrities, you know what that culture is. Okay, so here's the update. 10 years later, all right, in 2011, 528 million had been distributed. All right, there was a study done by the New York Community Trust. It was actually an investigation because of us. Okay, so most of the money did finally go. Now, all the charities admitted, it wasn't like some charity was saying, oh no, excuse me. They all said, oh, we got problems here distributing the money and this and that. Some of them were actually banking the money to give to other disasters. Okay? And I said, no, that's not happening. I am very, very proud of that coverage, okay? Because we were the only ones on television, in the media, driving this. And it was because the guy I worked for, Roger Ailes at Fox News, he stood behind me. I don't know whether that would happen today. Okay? But he stood behind me and allowed me to investigate this, to go full bore on it. I had no pushback from the folks, particularly the folks who gave their hard-earned money to the charitable cause. They wanted this money, of course, to get to the family. Yeah, no pushback from them. I got a slew of awards, you know, from this charity and that charity that eventually helped these people. But I remain to this day, and it's petty of me. I know it's petty. I should forgive Clooney. He's never asked for forgiveness, but he'd never do that. But I should let it go. I should let it go. But something inside me, I can't. It was so blatant. It was so bad. These people were suffering so much. And this arrogance. Oh, anyway. Got to do the right thing. That's the theme. You got to do the right thing. And in this case, we did. Thanks for watching and listening to the No Spin News. We will see you tomorrow. Bill O'Reilly here with a big announcement. You can now watch new episodes of the No Spin News live on Samsung TV Plus. Tune in each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV for breaking news, honest analysis, and the best election coverage in America. Please join me, Bill O'Reilly, at the First TV, now available on Samsung TV Plus. Start watching today on your Samsung television, Galaxy devices, or the Samsung TV Plus mobile app. Check out the No Spin News each weeknight at 8 p.m. on the First TV, Samsung TV Plus.